Have you ever wanted to really get into photography, but never really knew where to start? Or you find these lists online of how to get started, but it's either too complicated or not well-rounded enough to give you an idea of everything that you want to do to start? Well, here's my personal list of how to get started in photography. Even though it might not be the most well-rounded thing, hopefully it'll help you guys out. You're listening to Underexposed, shining a light on the love for cameras, a podcast of personal experiences. I'm your host, Jasmine Brewer. Welcome back, everyone, to Underexposed, shining a light on the love for cameras. Now, this week is going to be a bit different, so hang in there with me. But what better time than the present to try something new? I mean, we're on day, I don't even know what day it is, of this quarantine. And I've been thinking about, you know, my photography, as that's all I've had time to do besides schoolwork, and I figured I'd share my tips with you guys. Is in no way, shape, or form professional. Let me just state that off firsthand. But I've learned a few things here and there, and I am always constantly learning, so I figured I would share with you guys a few tips I've learned in the little time that I've had and experience I've had. So first off on my list, the first thing you think of when you think of photography is usually a camera, right? So what kind of camera do you want, and where do you get it from? Now, this is a complicated thing because I got my camera off of Facebook. That sounds sketchy, I know, but whenever you're searching for a camera, you just have to find one that best fits you. My camera was on Facebook and it was discounted. The girl was really nice and she was upgrading hers. So I don't have the newest camera. I have a Canon Rebel T5i, but it works good for my photography and it works great for my videos, so it's versatile for me. But people usually, you know, they don't know where to get it. Do you get it offline? Do you get them from in-store? Do you go to Walmart or Best Buy and just pick one up? Well, that's all personal preference, honestly. I mean, I know people that spend thousands of dollars on cameras when I'm one of those people that do not have that kind of money. So I just spent a couple hundred on mine, and I buy things for it here and there. But it just depends on what you need. If you want to do more portraits, then you're going to need something that's got a shorter lens. But if you want something like I do for nature photography, you're going to need a longer lens to be able to get those action shots. So, first off, you do not have to buy lenses straight away. You can just buy the base, which is just the body itself, and you can buy lenses later and build your kit. That is perfectly fine. No one's going to judge you, I promise. Everyone knows lenses are expensive. But, so you can go to Walmart or Target, Best Buy, and buy a camera straight off. You know those cameras are going to have no problems because they are brand new. However, if you do like I did and you buy a camera off of somewhere like Facebook or a yard sale, you have to be careful. Test everything, turn the camera on, see if the battery works. If it comes with lenses, test to make sure the lenses aren't cracked, make sure there's nothing wrong with the body. You have to check everything. But if you are very careful and you know you're weary of the situation, then sometimes you can get a good deal. But don't make that your number one source to look for cameras. Another thing is there are all kinds of sites that sell used and refurbished cameras. Amazon itself actually sells refurbished cameras. And there is nothing wrong with refurbished lenses, cameras, anything like that. Reason I say that is because these are virtually brand new. I say virtually because they are used items, but they have been verified that they still work and they work in great condition. They're just cleaned up whenever someone doesn't want them anymore and sent to someone that does. Now, the thing that is always a hit or miss when it comes to cameras are the brand. Usually the two that come to my mind are Canon and Nikon. Now, you can get ones like Sony, which are really good, but when you think of cameras, usually you think of Canon and you think of Nikon. I have nothing against Nikon whatsoever. I have never personally owned a Nikon camera, just because the opportunity was not there for me to own one. Now, I love my Canon camera. I love it to death. I will brag about it until I get a new one. Then I will still probably brag about it because it has done a lot for me. But it really is just on personal preference. You can try both. You can ask some friends. If you have a friend that, you know, has a Nikon or has a Canon, Ask them if they'd let you try it out, or look on YouTube at the difference, you know, how people rate them differently for what you think you might be interested in. It never hurts to look around and try. Cameras are expensive, so take time in looking into what you're getting. Now, I could go into the difference between Nikon and Canons, but honestly, I have no knowledge on the subject, so I'm not going to try to push knowledge on you guys that I do not have. When you think about photography, usually somebody has something in mind. If they say, what do you like to take pictures of? Usually the answer isn't food. Sometimes it is, and you can make a career out of that. But even if you say, my dog, my cat, I like to take pictures of my niece or my nephew, or let's say I like to take pictures of scenery, that's where you start. So you take what you already like to take pictures of, and you grow that. You grow your interest in that, and you just keep going and building until you have a solid idea of what you want to do. So, for example, I love nature photography. I don't know where it came from. It just kind of came up out of the blue. And I love portrait photography, which is a completely different thing. But I always try to take pictures of everything to try to see what I'm good at and what I can build on. For example, I did an internship at a local speedway last summer. And had I ever taken a picture of a car? Once or twice. I went to a drag show and tried to get some pictures, you know, some cool pictures. But whenever I did this internship, it turned out I'm really good at catching the moments and being able to capture this tense atmosphere of a raceway and seeing the rivalries between people and seeing how excited the family and the fans get whenever these races happen. And it was new for me, but I wouldn't have known unless I tried it. So my key point out of this little step, I guess, is that don't be afraid to try new things. If you don't like it, you can delete it. I mean, it's always there, yeah, but you can delete it if you don't like it. But at least you know. I would rather have tried something and got a positive experience out of it or said, hey, at least I know that's not my thing, than never trying at all. Something I learned from my photography internship that really stuck with me, I learned before I even started taking photos, is that you can delete a photo later. What I mean by that is, so when I worked at the Speedway, the first thing I was concerned about was, what if there's a bad wreck? Even if you don't know much about racing, people know about the wrecks. That's just the way it works. People know that wrecks can happen, people get injured, and it can get horrendous, but we still see them. So what is the point that you stop? When do you stop taking a picture? When do you not take a picture? So what I was told was, even if there's a bad wreck, keep taking pictures of it. Keep taking pictures until it's done. Don't say anything about it when you're in post-production later. So whenever you're looking back at the photos later on, if something bad happened or there was a fatality or somebody got really hurt, then you can delete the photos. But if they come out of it and maybe they want, you know, hey, I want this photo later so I can look at, you know, how the car was, what we can fix on the car, what I can fix and try to do better. So always take the shot because you can get rid of it later. And odds are you're going to be the only person that sees that photo until you decide to share it or publish it anyway. So this is probably going to be the longest tip, I guess, of this, you know, personal tips from me. So when it comes to photography, you want to be invested in what you do. Now, I don't mean financially. Even though it can come out to a pretty penny at times, that is not what I mean. Photography is an art form. It's a passion. When you wake up in the morning, when you see something outside that looks beautiful, yeah, you want to treasure it, but you also think about your camera. Whenever you go places, you take your camera with you just in case there's this one shot that is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to get. You have to be invested in what you're doing. You have to want to do it. If you wake up and you're supposed to go take photos that day, let's say person A and you have scheduled a photo shoot, and you were so excited about it, and the day you wake up, you are completely dreading it. You do not want to go and record. You don't want to edit. You don't want to deal with the situation at all. If it's like that every time you go to take photos, then maybe photography isn't for you. And it's not for everyone. Some people find it the most boring and time-consuming thing that they do not want to get invested in. But everyone has a bad day. It's just the way life is. Some days you can be too tired, or you can be overworked from the night before and not want to go to a photo shoot, or you just don't want to drag all your camera equipment out. I get that. Me, of all people, I get so unmotivated. I understand completely. But those times when you go to a photo shoot and you get so excited you lose track of time and you have all these ideas you share with an individual, or you get all these different shots and you get so excited when you get this perfect shot, and even if it's not perfect, it's perfect to you and that's all that matters. That's the kind of passion you look for. I personally carry my camera around everywhere. It is in this little backpack that I bought at Walmart. And I try to keep it in my car. If I'm in my car, if I go to work, I take it with me. If I go to school, I take it with me. If I go to the grocery store, I take it with me just in case. Now, I am not perfect. I do not claim to be. So yeah, sometimes I do forget. But it's just, what if that shot, you know, the opportunity comes around? I have to be prepared. That's my mindset. My portfolio is based off of, yes, a lot of, you know, portrait shots that my friends and family have graciously allowed me to take, a lot of flowers, which flowers, nah, not so much, you know, spontaneous, but other things in my portfolio or animals and birds are animals, but you know what I mean, and, you know, these events that happen every once a year, and these people gather because they're so excited, and of course my Speedway photography is in there, and those shots aren't predictable. I mean, some are, but some are so in the moment, and it's so awesome to capture this moment and have it for the rest of time. Shots may be very similar, but there's nothing the exact same as you, unless they copy it, and that's why you always try to make sure that your work is specified, either in the description or with a watermark, that it is your work. A couple weeks ago, I had been waiting for one of my classes to start, you know, Zoom University since this quarantine. But in all honesty, I was waiting on one of my classes to start, so I figured I would get something to eat before class, which is natural because as a college kid, we get hungry, so I probably went and got some cup noodles or something. I don't remember exactly, but that's what I've ate for lunch every day since this quarantine started, so 99% possibility that's what it was. So I looked outside because, you know, it was a rainy day and it had started to get a little bit clearer, but it was still misting here and there. And I looked down the creek because my house is actually about 50 yards from a creek. So there was actually a great blue heron in the creek. So for those of you who don't know, a great blue heron is this big bird. I mean, they don't even weigh more. I think the most that one weighs is like 8 pounds. But they're these big birds that are found usually around water sources, creeks, lakes, you know, things like that. But I went upstairs and got my camera because I had not gotten a close picture of a heron since, well, I had never got a good picture of a heron. I had gotten far away pictures of them in their nests, but never that close. So I told my mom and my boyfriend to stay inside, more or less for the fact that if they went near our back door or tried to go outside, I was afraid it would scare the bird and I would have to go on a rampage, and nobody wants that. So I went outside in my shorts, my pajama shorts, and a tank top in, you know, the 50 degree weather and misting rain to get pictures of this heron. And I got some pretty cool shots with these lenses I've got, you know, they're not perfect. But there was also, I guess, he was just really hungry, and where the creek had flooded, it had actually pushed a mole to the surface, you know, instead of them being underground. And I got some shots of this heron eating this mole out of the ground. And I got some shots of this heron drowning this mole repeatedly. And it was horrible, but it was the coolest thing ever because I did not know that herons actually eat mammals. I know they eat fish. Everyone sees them eat fish all the time. But I'd never seen them actually eat a mammal off of land. And so they actually can eat anything that their beaks can pierce and anything they can chew, basically. But shots like that, no one else around my area had seen either. I shared them on Facebook and people were astounded by the fact that I got pictures of this heron eating this mole, which some people found it very morbid, but cool at the same time. So things like that are once-in-a-lifetime opportunities that if you don't take the opportunity, then you're not going to have it. I sat outside for 45 minutes just to take pictures of this heron, not knowing what else it would do. So always take an opportunity. Even if you don't think there's one, there may be one there for you. The last thing I want to talk to you guys about is actually pretty simple compared. So now that you have these photos, whether it be of people or animals or cars, landscapes, food, your clothes, whatever, not every picture is perfect. Some need touched up. Now, things like Photoshop can get expensive. As a production technology student, you do not realize how expensive these editing programs get until you're already diving deep into the subject, and then it's just your wallet is empty. I have two things that I'd like to share. So I use PixArt, PICSART. That is an app. It is a basic app for editing. Even if you want to just edit your selfies, it's a really good app. Not sponsored or anything like that. It's just a really good app, and I enjoy it. You can change color lighting, you can use basic Photoshop skills, and you can pay for pro qualities, but I have the free version, and I edit all of my photos with PixArt. So, that's one. And another site that I was actually taught to use in my Photoshop class is Photopea.com. I'll put a link in the description down below because I cannot spell that well, but Photopea is actually really cool. So, Photopea is basically Photoshop. It is Adobe Photoshop to a T, just a little bit more generic. So, you can do everything you can do with Photoshop for free on this website. I just think it's awesome, and you can convert photos and everything else on there, and anything you'd want to find to start off with would be awesome on this site. Maybe it'll get you guys in the right direction of what you want to do or where you want to start. Thank you guys for tuning in. And if you guys have any comments, questions, or things that you want me to talk about, you can leave a comment down below, or you can leave a comment on Facebook or Instagram. I will leave links to those below also. So you guys stay safe, and I'll see you next time. This has been Underexposed, shining a light on the love for cameras.